This is DZPN, the Drunken Zombie Podcasting Network.
This is Sylvia Schultz, the host of Lights Out. Welcome to the show. I wanted to thank everyone who gave me such a warm welcome last time, and a great big thank you goes to Larry Santoro, the host of Tales to Terrify, for inviting me to do the show. Some of you even wrote in to me to tell me that I'd done well on the first episode. Richard Farron Barber sent me a message on Facebook saying, "Hi, Sylvia. I just wanted to say what a great addition your segment is to Tales to Terrify. I listened to it in the car on the way to work in a state of near-permanent terror. I can't wait for the next episode." Well, thank you so very much, Richard. I really am glad that you enjoyed the show. I hope everyone else is enjoying it as much as Richard is. I'm going to be bringing you thrills and chills and a few laughs now and then for a long time to come. I love hearing from all of you out there in Electron Land, so if you like what you're hearing, please feel free to drop me a line. Either friend me on Facebook, or there is a Facebook page set up for one of my books, Fractured Spirits, Hauntings at the Peoria State Hospital. And you can always like that page and send me a message through the page. I'd love to hear your comments. But now, it's time to go. Lights out. Tuberculosis is a virulent disease that still, even now, kills millions of people per year worldwide. In 1939, a doctor at the Peoria State Hospital, Dr. Maxim Pollock, did a study on tuberculosis at the asylum. He discovered that 95% of people, staff as well as patients, at the asylum suffered from some form of tuberculosis. In 1940, the asylum decided there was a need for a dedicated TB ward. Even so, it would be another 10 years before the Pollock was actually built. The Pollock Hospital opened in 1950 and closed, along with the rest of the asylum, in 1973. During this period of 23 years, there was an average of 3 to 5 deaths a week at the Pollock Hospital. This, naturally, makes the Pollock one of the most haunted buildings at the asylum. Because tuberculosis is such a highly contagious disease, often whole families would succumb. An investigator shared with me the following EVP that they recorded at the Pollock. Since you'll likely be listening to this as a podcast, please feel free to back up and listen until you hear the faint voices at the end of the clip. You'll hear an investigator ask 3 times if anyone is there, if anyone wants to say anything. Then, very faintly, you'll hear a little child say, "In here," followed by a deep male voice saying, "Get back." Is this maybe a father wanting his little one not to talk to strangers?
Is there anyone in here? Anyone in here? You want to say something?
As a paranormal investigator, I find the most incredible thing about the Pollock to be that the supernatural can be experienced here by every single one of the senses. People have seen full-bodied apparitions here, as well as shadowy figures. Tuberculosis causes lesions on the lungs. Coughing ruptures those lesions, and one of the classic symptoms of TB is coughing up blood. People have tasted blood in their mouths while in the Pollock. Sometimes the taste is so strong they have to leave the building and go outside to vomit in the grass. People have been touched. I myself had someone hold my hand for several minutes in the basement of the building. I was investigating the building with Peoria Paranormal, and we were in the basement using a ghost box to communicate with the spirits. A ghost box is essentially an AM radio set up to scroll through the dial to produce white noise, from which the spirits can form words.
Oh, wow.
Come on up and speak right into my box that I got in my hand here.
Okay. Yeah, I'm fine. Something... My hand is warm.
Really?
Yeah, my left hand.
Oh, it's definitely warm.
It's like something warm is holding my hand. That is so cool.
Oh my gosh.
I've never been touched before. I think this might be it, because it feels like something warm is holding my hand. Mm-hmm. And it's not a breeze. It's just like something warm around my hand. This is cool. This is totally awesome.
Can you tell me your name, please?
Were you just holding somebody's hand?
Stacy, can you tell me what's going on here? Because this is wonderful. Is someone holding my hand? I really want to know.
Warms it. It's hard to say. Hold on.
It's like this warm pulsing on my fingers.
I'm not focusing on it. I'm focusing on something else.
Sorry. I'd really love to know.
I'm kind of disappointed that my body's not coming out to say hi to
you. Now it's fading.
It wasn't a little girl, it was a man.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
This was the man.
Oh,
no,
my.
The little girl's voice was on the thing. It said stop.
Do you want me to stop?
He said friend.
Now it's back. It's fainter than it was.
From the way you're...
You know what my name is?
We have a phone.
That is so cool.
Sorry,
Sandy.
Your friends
are
here.
Wow. He's gonna pull away.
He's always
doing that.
Oh.
How many spirits are down here with us?
Yeah, it's much fainter than it was.
10?
Wow.
Yep. 10.
10. Yep.
10. 10. Yep. 10.
Thank you.
Earlier that same evening, I'd gone down to the basement with a group of investigators. There was already a group down there, so we decided to go back upstairs to the women's ward. I didn't know most of the people that were there that night, so when a girl with long blonde hair fell into step behind me as we were going up the basement stairs, I didn't think anything of it. It wasn't until I got to the top of the stairs and turned to hold the heavy metal door for her that I realized that all wasn't exactly as it seemed.
When you get too many people together, it just scares them.
We'll be back. Oh, I can understand that.
There's one that comes up to the steps. She's followed us up the steps. So
right behind us right now?
Yeah.
She's more than welcome to follow us.
She won't go any further.
I could have sworn there was someone else behind me.
Yeah, she won't go any further.
Oh!
Gotcha. So you didn't have experience.
I saw someone out of the corner of my eye. I thought it was another investigator.
We'll let them continue down there. Maybe they can get...
Another sense that gets involved at the asylum, and especially at the Pollock, is one's sense of smell. I talked to an investigator with Illinois Ghost Seeker Society named Danielle, who told me that she and her team were sitting in the men's death ward at the Pollock when they all started smelling something very odd and out of place. It smelled like Christmas, was how she explained it to me. It was a curious mixture of cinnamon and a whole lot of pine. The Peoria State Hospital was well known for its use of alternative cures. In herbal medicine, white pine is just about the best chest decongestant there is. Balsam was also used to loosen phlegm. The investigators could very well have been smelling some bygone chest liniment. Chris Morris is in charge of the Pollock and has been steeping herself in the history of the asylum for years. Chris told us how she first became involved with the Peoria State Hospital.
what is it that made you this involved?
I was about 7 years old, and my grandpa brought me up here for the first time. We have a family member that's buried in the cemeteries.
Oh,
and when he brought me to the hilltop, he told me that special people were here. Now, I thought he meant giants,
because
the buildings were enormous.
Yeah.
And I was always enamored with the place. Well, I got to be a teenager and started to hear all the campfire stories. The abuse and the torture and the shocking everybody and, you know, how terrible it was. So I started looking into it myself. Started going into the libraries and, you know, getting all the information I could possibly get. And the story I started to puzzle piece together wasn't anything like what you hear. So at that point, I started to tell people the truth about the asylum, which didn't give me a very good reputation in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Became the asylum girl. So, and even since then, I've always been tried to be involved with any historical stuff that's involved up here.
Okay.
She also shared with us some of the research she's done on the history of the asylum.
So, that is way
now, I found
cool.
this in the bakery before they tore it down. It was shoved up in a light socket, and I haven't gotten it back together yet. It's a Daily Time ticket, and one of the asylum newsletters is in here.
Oh,
and I'm going to put it all back together eventually. It even has a poem in there about how we treat our patients and their families with respect and that kind of thing. Oh. Now, have you ever seen this?
No, you told me about it.
Now, I made a copy. So we don't hand this out anymore. We don't let people touch it and everything because it's getting too old.
Yeah.
But I'm handing it to you because I don't mind.
Okay.
So you guys handle books all the time. You understand how they work. But that's the actual nurse's guide where I told you about her story about how the patient said, my mother is dead, my brother is dead, this is a nut house, and I am a hairbrush. That actually comes from that. And it goes into detail on... that for church, you got to double check their hair and their teeth and their nails. And you have to wash them every day, but doubly as much before they go to church because these people need to look nice when they go to church. That's what their life was before here. We make sure that their life is the same.
Mm.
You know, it really goes into detail on how every single ward of the hospital, because she had to go to every building, they really were treated so very well.
Yeah.
And then we were one of the first establishments to do a punch card. And that made sure they knew exactly what nurse or what orderly was in what place all the time. So if a patient was beaten or something bad had happened, you knew exactly what person was there. We were one of the first institutions to do that.
Did that ever happen? Were any patients beaten?
On occasion, there was patient-on-patient violence.
Uh-huh.
In the early days, we did have some patient-on-orderly, orderly-on-patient violence. Was another reason why Dr. Zeller decided that women should be on the wards. Because they were better. Soft-spoken word and a smile is better than the hard hand of a man. So, but yeah, this is the kind of stuff that I've been collecting over the years to really give people a good history on what it was really like up here.
I believe I went here. Last week we had a group here, and this lady, she actually worked here.
Uh-huh.
And she said that there was a patient, that she was the queen.
Oh my.
She was the queen.
Mm-hmm.
And the friend that was next to her was her servant, and she followed her around all the time. And when the lady here gave her x-rays, the queen made a $100,000 check for her. And she said it was really intricate. And I said, do you still have that? She says, I don't know.
Oh.
Can you imagine something like that?
Oh. Well,
that's
She came in and she sat down for my history, and I could see her up in the front row, and I was like, okay. And I did my history like I always do, and then she went first to Jackie's area. And then, Jackie, you go ahead and tell them what she said to you.
Oh, she said, I came here, she said, I was ready to correct. I was ready to correct everything that was wrong. She goes, it was perfect. Everything that Chris said was right on. I said, there you go.
Perfect.
And she had such a good time. She had such a wonderful time.
Now, this is somebody who worked here from 1953 till 1969, she said.
Mm-hmm.
So right before we closed. That is a long time. That's almost 20 years.
Yeah.
And if she says that I'm on the mark,
yeah.
I'm on the mark.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a dietary ward report.
I thought I had my glasses with me. I didn't have them with me.
This I have to put back together.
Oh,
if you see on the two ward reports, you'll see that there's a building not on here. Because no patients were kept there.
Oh, okay.
There's no Bowen.
Wow, there's a lot.
But if you look here, you can see the Levitin, the Talcott,
oh, yeah.
the Pollock.
Sure, and Bowen's not even on there because there aren't any patients there.
That's right. So that, I think, is very interesting. And then you have this. This is a bus pass from the old hospital. Oh. And it shows exactly how often the bus ran up here so that you could visit your loved ones 4 times a day. And I love the fact that the phone number on there is only like 4 digits. Now, the eerie thing about that is occasionally we'll get text messages up here. And the text message will have nothing to say, but the phone number that comes in will be 4 digits.
Well,
so you can add that to your thing for sure. Because
definitely.
Oh, it happens to us pretty regularly. Oh, Jackie was one of the first ones to get it. And we were what? That doesn't even make sense. Why would it only be 4 digits? And then I brought that out, and we were sitting here talking, and we were like, how eerie is that, that we occasionally get blank text messages from a phone number that's 4 digits?
I visited the Pollock one sunny April afternoon with Karen Dodd, who was interested in the place. Chris encouraged us to spend some time investigating the basement, which is one of the most haunted spots in the building.
It's been pretty active down here in the last couple of weeks, so I'm going to let you do what you do. Do you want me to go ahead and pop these lights out? I don't have one on in there. You mean leave those on for you?
Yeah, let's.
Okay.
I'm just the biggest.
We will be just right upstairs, and you guys spend as much time down here as you feel comfortable spending.
All right, cool.
Thanks. All right.
I love your confidence in me. Thank you.
I am freezing, though.
It is really cold in here. Wow. Yeah.
When we got down there, I told Karen a few of the anecdotes that volunteers had shared with me.
And there are several wonderful spirits down here, as well as one that is really kind of unpleasant. There's a spirit of a little girl down here named Elizabeth. She's about 5 years old. And investigators think that she had some sort of speech impediment in life, because any EVPs that we get that can be attributed to her are kind of garbled.
What is EVP? I mean, I don't know what it is, but what are the words?
Electronic voice phenomena. That's when you're recording. That's why I've had the recorder going on the entire time. You don't hear it when we're standing around talking, but when I play the recording back, hopefully someone will come up and be talking to us, and then you hear it on the recording later.
Okay.
So, Elizabeth is down here. Poor little doll is sitting in a puddle of water there. A couple summers ago, some of the volunteers came down here and they put a circle of baby powder on the floor and put the doll in the middle of the circle of baby powder. And the next time they came down, the doll was lying on her side, but there was a perfect circle of drag marks where her heels had been spun around in the baby powder.
Experiences that a lot of people have had down here. We'll go ahead and go into the morgue here. This is a really inadequate little flashlight. Wow. You see that door right over there? There's a great big metal door. It leads into another small room. People will hear that door open and shut with a great big groaning clang, but it doesn't actually move. Mm-hmm. This right here is the morgue where the bodies were stored until relatives came to claim them, claim the bodies. What will happen quite often when people are down here at night doing investigations is that they'll see a shadow poke out from behind that, in the doorway, a shadow will peek out, keep track of what you're doing.
Once inside the morgue, we sat quietly for a while, hoping to get some sign of paranormal activity. While we didn't hear anything unusual, our attention was caught by a strange shadow that showed up on the wall of the morgue.
Shadow and see if you think it changes form.
eyes.
Yeah, are you talking about this one here?
Uh-huh.
That's the one I was noticing. It seems almost to get darker and lighter as I'm looking at it.
To me, it seems like it goes down a little bit.
Yeah.
And moves to the side.
So I'm not the only one seeing that. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Me, see if you're noticing the same thing. Here's the head, here's the torso, and here's the arm. It seems like the arm is fading in and out.
Mm-hmm. And it seems moves over to the left, expands.
Yeah, the dark spot is getting bigger, and I'm so glad I'm not the only one seeing that. Now it's a little lighter. Yes. What I'm looking at is I'm sitting about in the middle of the morgue, which is dark, and there is the door between the rest of the basement and the morgue is open, and the light is on in the other part. So there is light coming in through the door, and anyone standing in that doorway would cast a shadow right where I'm looking, right here. Yeah, see? Karen just got up and moved. And what we were both looking at is a shadow cast on the wall that seems to be fluctuating a bit. It's about 3 foot tall. And I'm just realizing she left me alone in the morgue. Thank you. And there's Karen's shadow, and she's coming back into the room. And that shadow is still on the wall, but it seems it's fluctuating. It's getting darker, and it's getting lighter.
I see the lighter.
Yeah, there's a shadow of the wire up on top. But this is the shadow, a human-shaped shadow, about 3 foot tall. It looks, for all the world, like there's somebody standing in the doorway. Huh. Interesting. Well, whoever you are, thank you.
This wasn't the first time I'd seen shadows at play in the morgue. In December 2011, I was in the morgue late at night with a group of ghost hunters, and Elizabeth came out to play with us. Sam Kallir, the son of the building's owner, was the one the shadow concentrated on the most.
Did you see his jacket just move?
Yeah, I did. I did see that. I was wondering, because I didn't see his hand move, but I saw the shadow on the jacket.
The shadow on my jacket moved.
Just like that.
Uh-huh.
Is
thank you.
Response, or is that just, that's
normal? What is that?
Are you seeing this?
I am.
What?
There's a shadow on his jacket, and his arm is not moving.
Nothing's moving. Wait.
Danielle, you move a little bit.
No,
it's not her.
It's not her.
Are you moving at all, Sam?
No.
He's not moving.
I can tell he's not moving.
Which, this way? And the other way, back towards him. Move
no.
Your hands up and down.
Me?
No. Okay. Danielle. I
told
her
there it is.
Way.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Oh, my God.
You seeing this?
And it's not me. I thought it was me. It's not me.
This is
not
that scary.
Don't panic.
It's okay. You're fine.
Like you.
It's okay, Sam.
They like you. It's
yeah.
I think it's a child. I do believe it is.
Because it's short.
It says, a boy, child. So,
Sam, this is wonderful.
Over there, move your arms over there. We already did.
Yeah, we did. I thought it was me. I thought it was my shoulder, but it isn't.
It's not.
She walked right into it.
Yeah, you walked right through it.
It's gone.
Oh, we're sorry. Please come back.
Oh, I was just trying to feel the coldness. It's okay. You can come back.
You're fine. We'd love to see you again.
Wait, did you know?
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry if I scared you.
What there is
again. I don't know when this camera catches it.
Oh, my gosh.
We see you. Thank you for coming to play with us.
Can you see the camera following your eyes, Sam?
No.
Damn it.
No, it's behind the... It's behind the post. It's still on you.
Go ahead. Walk back over here.
There you are. Hello.
Don't go, Sam. You stay.
Hi.
Watch the front of his coat.
Are you comfortable? Okay. Over there, Mom?
Yeah, I'm good.
You're doing great, Sam.
My heart's already seen now.
It's okay.
You're fine. You're doing awesome.
Yeah. Yes.
I did. You're doing great.
You can move anytime you want to.
Take a deep breath, Sam. Just take a deep breath and relax.
It's really great that you're wearing a dark coat with a light shirt underneath because you can see a shadow very clearly on your shirt. And it's not moving with your jacket. It's not moving with your arm. This is fascinating.
I feel a sharp pain around my leg.
Okay.
What?
Go ahead and move. Okay. If you need to move, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Sam, that was amazing.
What did you say about the void?
Oh, my gosh, that was awesome.
One of my favorite pieces of equipment to play with is a ghost box. You heard an example of this earlier when we spoke with Christopher in the basement. My first experience with a ghost box was in the women's ward of the Pollock. Derek, an investigator with Peoria Paranormal, introduced me to this interesting piece of equipment. I was fascinated by the theory that spirits could use the white noise of the AM dial to form words. I said as much, and someone near us chose that moment to spit out the word bitch.
I heard the word, the B word.
Yep.
Do you see it? Yes. No.
Okay.
They like to cuss sometimes.
Just so you know.
They like to say some not so nice words. This is AM radio that is scanning, so there's no reason that you should hear the F word, the B word, any bad word.
Right.
We've heard a lot of F bombs and
Oh, now I compliment you on saying how smart you are to use this and you call me a bitch?
I guess not.
Are you okay with us being in this room with you right now?
Please.
Record. You want just me to leave since I'm a male? Do I not belong in here?
Leave.
Okay, I just got chills.
All right.
I'm just saying.
Here we go. You don't really want me to leave, do you?
Leave. Do you want Derek to leave?
I really will leave. I'm not going to leave. I'm going to walk around and wait for you guys.
Leave? Oh, my God.
I'm not leaving.
That was two different women.
Yep. I just saw a shadow. Kind of. Like, actually, in... Is there anybody in the hallway? Can you see? It moved from right to left, like, literally across the window.
I don't see anyone in the hallway.
What?
Leave immediately. Another man's voice.
That was a man.
Yep.
Do you want us to go?
Yeah. Yes. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and turn our box off here.
Can we come back later?
I heard a yeah.
I didn't hear that. Can you say that again? Can we come back later, please?
Yes.
The Pollock Hospital is owned by the Limestone High School Junior Football League, who've put on a haunted house in the building every October. The teens volunteer to build the sets and help staff the haunt. The energy that builds up during those chilly weeks in the fall can be truly amazing. Chris Morris tells the story of some teens who were working their post in the men's death ward. The entrances and exits to the haunt are carefully controlled to maximize the actors' control as they guide guests through the haunt. The men's death ward door, which had been solidly locked, slammed itself open as the teenage actors watched. The energy at the Pollock Hospital can be intense at times, but most often, it's playful. Judy Sullivan was visiting the Pollock Hospital with her mother, Dorothy, who is sensitive to spirits, and a friend, Larry. Larry was taping as they walked along and said, "Man, there are bunches of kids around here." Dorothy, who could see the spirits, reassured them that, yes, we're surrounded by children right now. And Larry was doing some recording, and he looked up, and excitement was in his eyes, and he yelled, "Judy, you have to come over here and listen to this." And he held up the recorder. On the recording, Larry was walking around and muttered to himself, "Did I just hear a tap, tap, tap on the window?" And just then, on the recorder, a child's voice piped up, "Yup, you sure did." The Pollock is a favorite destination for paranormal investigators because of the incredible activity that goes on there. Watched over by the team of volunteers, the Pollock should provide history and chills for many years to come. It's got it all, hauntings and history.
Again, I'm asked a lot on tour, why do we feel that we're one of the most haunted places in the United States if they were treated so well?
Yeah, that crossed my mind.
One of the best things I've ever heard. Now, I always give my speech the same way. Why are most houses haunted? Because the people that lived there loved their homes and felt safe there and simply don't want to go anywhere. We feel the same way about our institution. If you had been mistreated in an almshouse or just set aside in your family as being different, there's a good chance when you arrived here, this was the best place they had ever been.
They felt accepted.
They don't want to go anywhere else. They're afraid in some cases. Why should I go through the light? I'm accepted here. I'm happy here. Just let me stay. Mm-hmm. Well, one day I was doing a tour through the cemetery, and a gentleman asked me that same question, and he said, "Why do you think they stay?" And before I could go into my speech, there's an EVP of a little boy saying, "It's so nice." I think that sums it up. Mm-hmm.
I hope you've enjoyed this look at the Pollock Hospital, the tuberculosis ward of the Peoria State Hospital. For many, many more stories about the Pollock, I invite you to read Fractured Spirits, Hauntings at the Peoria State Hospital. Please join me next time when I'll be chatting with Jim Heater, host of Paranormal Geeks Radio, about his experiences at several haunted sites in Havana, Illinois. I hope you can join me then. Until then, we're gonna go. Lights out.